Brethren, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you a hearty welcome to the meditation of the weekly lesson from the precious Word of God. The subject of study today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. It concerns the triumphant entry of our beloved Savior into Jerusalem, preceding his rejection and crucifixion. Truthfully, the path of the Son of God from the manger to the cross included the fulfillment of this event according to the prophetic scripture, giving evidence that Jesus was the Messiah of Israel. But let us ask God in prayer for his help in our study. Our beloved and blessed God and Father, illumine our hearts and our minds by the Holy Spirit to understand thy word concerning thy Son and his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which preceded the darkness of the cross and his rejection by his people Israel. We ask it for his glory and in his precious and worthy name. Let us consider the preparation for this triumphant entry of our beloved Lord. We find it in verses 29 through 35 of Luke chapter 19. The purpose of this should be clearly understood. Many foolish speculations have been made, but the simple fact concerning this event, that Christ is the King, and as such, must come to Jerusalem, fulfilling the prophecy that Zechariah had predicted. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, foretold, and these are the words of the prophet, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass." May I reemphasize, the purpose of this triumphant entry was to fulfill the prophetic scriptures and give the people and the nation the evidence of the Messiahship of Jesus. 'Tis very interesting to note, and we mention it, that in the scripture, this animal, the ass, is such an illustration of salvation by grace. For it may be wondered by many why the Lord did not use the magnificent white horse. If you compare Revelation 19, verse 10, where we have the description of the Lord Jesus coming back to the earth in power and great glory, he will be seen riding upon a white horse and the armies of heaven attending him, also upon white horses. Read Revelation chapter 19, verses 10 through 14. But the prophecy of Zechariah foretold of his first coming, and if you note the prophecy, to bring salvation and to come in humility, lowly, and using an ass or its coat to ride upon. Will you remember by nature, this animal is very stubborn, scornful, heedless, restless, its habitation usually in the wilderness. And how suitably it illustrates the Adamic nature of human people, that as sinners by nature, we are very rebellious against God and we need to be tamed. For this colt of the ass had never been ridden upon. And the particular one chosen by the Lord, as we state, was one upon which no man had ever sat. But the Savior commands two of his disciples to obtain the colt. He instructs them where it would be. And by divine omniscience and divine authority, they were thus to bring it to the Lord. Very strange. The owners of the animal raised no objection when the disciples said, "The Lord hath need of him." And so they brought him to Jesus, as we read in verse 35. Now let me briefly point out a very necessary lesson. We have already suggested the nature of this chosen animal, untamed and very stubborn in disposition. And this particular one, again we repeat, had never been subdued by man. Yet, The Lord Jesus controlled it on this occasion with no difficulty, and it was used by him. Have you ever realized that the Christ of God, his beloved Son, is the blessed and perfect person who is able to take a stubborn, rebellious sinner and by his love and grace and power conquer that sinner and then use that sinner for his own purpose and for his own glory? Yes, as the disciples told the owners, the Lord hath need of him. Would not the Lord say the same today? Not that he cannot do without us, but when he saves us, he is pleased to use us. And he can use our faith to please him, our love to minister to him, our service to work for him, our hearts to live within us. Our possessions can be used for him. My fellow believer, let you and I take in these words. Let us remind us ourselves of those words. The Lord hath need of us. And thus the disciples brought the coat, placed their garments upon it, and then set Jesus thereon. Now let us consider from verses 36 through 38, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Note the words that we read them. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way, and when he was come nigh, even now to at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Will you please note the obedience and the rejoicing of the disciples of the Lord on this occasion? Rightfully they acknowledge with rejoicing the worthiness of the King based upon the mighty works that they had seen. For had not the Savior proved his right to be recognized as their King through all the miracles that he had done in the midst of the nation? It must not be forgotten that by complete evidence of the great miracles performed during his ministry, Jesus had proved the right to be the King of Israel. John chapter 20, you may read verses 30 and 31. There John testifies to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah and the Son of God upon the ground of his miraculous evidences during his public ministry. From the contemporary Gospels, it is revealed to us that possibly thousands came to meet the Lord Jesus on this occasion with palm branches in their hands, waving them over their heads and breaking out into glad shouts, quoting from Psalm 118, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Now the word Hosanna means save now. And did he not come to save his people? But one of the amazing things relative to this expression of praise and rejoicing is the sad fact that many in this same crowd were later on influenced by the leaders of the nation to demand his death. How unpredictable is the human heart? But now let's go to verse 39 and 40. Consider the objection of the Pharisees. We read that some of the Pharisees said unto Jesus, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And their complaint was met by the Savior's rebuke. I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. These blinded Pharisees, claiming to know the Scriptures, yet they never connected this incident with the prophecy of Zechariah, for that which was taking place was founded upon the Word of God, giving evidence as to who Jesus was, their King. But these public religious and so-called spiritual leaders of the nation, spiritually blind, nothing but blind leaders of the line, were they? And the strange analogy we would say today, even in the religious world, There are many blind people who are following blind leaders in multitudes. And the humble, faithful servant of God, who is true to the word of God, rejected by the majority, as the Lord himself was in his day. It is worthy of this occasion to note Matthew's account. We would particularly refer to Matthew's account in Matthew 21, verse 10 and 11, and we read, "When Jesus was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this?" Please note carefully the answer that the multitude declared. The multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Now they had been crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." But when questioned, "Who is this person?" Instead of answering Jehovah Jesus, the Messiah, they answer Jesus, and no, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee, which actually implied words of rejection of his kingship. Yet, in it all, through it all, the Lord was undisturbed. There were some swept away by the enthusiasm of the crowd, but the Lord Jesus is silent, calm in his kingly majesty. He knew what was soon to happen, and before his heart, our blessed Lord knew the cross was facing him. Now in verses 41 through 44 of our chapter in Luke 19, let's consider the words of the Lord Jesus so prophetically given. First of all, in verse 41, we behold a weeping Savior. When he was come near and he beheld the city, he wept over it. I believe the words of Matthew 23:37 would be necessary to read so that we could understand the depth of the Savior's sorrow as he wept. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Now what kind of lamentation was this? What kind of weeping? At the grave of Lazarus, Jesus wept silently, and the tears trickled down his cheeks, for his heart was in perfect sympathy with the sorrow and grief of Mary and Martha. But before the city of Jerusalem, he breaks out with loud and deep lamentations, a wailing sound of tragedy, as he laments over the city and recalls the slaying of the prophets in the past, and now their coming rejection of him, the one who was so anxious to protect them under his wings. And sad is the commentary of his words, "But ye would not." Oh, my beloved friend, do not be a stubborn rejecter of Christ. He bids you come to him, and come to him now if you are unsaved. Enjoy the words of the psalmist. "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." Psalm 91 and verse 4. How he longs to take the sinner and shelter the sinner who will trust him and believe upon him under the wings of his great eternal power and the shed blood of his cross in safety. But now listen to the prophecy of the Savior. What a tragic note. One of doom. He goes on to say how much better it would have been for the people of Jerusalem to have wept because of their rebellion and rejection of him. But now, he pronounces their coming doom. Note verses 43 and 44. "For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another." Because, and note the reason, "because thou knowest not the day of thy visitation." Beloved, Jerusalem doomed. One of the most tragic records that has ever been written concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, which took place in the year 70 AD, under the Roman power of Titus the general. It was Josephus, the Jewish historian, who has written, as an eyewitness, that terrible experience of the lengthy siege of Jerusalem that went on for months and months and months until the city was destroyed and the sanctuary too. Yes, the Savior's prophecy was fulfilled. But it is very important, and we repeat it, to note carefully the reason for it. The closing words of verse 44, they declare it, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Willfully, they were ignorant, refusing to recognize that God was visiting his people, just as you may read the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, in Luke chapter 1, speaks of the blessed fact, the birth of that birth babe of his. He was to be the forerunner of one who was coming to visit his people with salvation. Yes, it was the visitation of God when Christ the Son of God, their Messiah, was in their midst, even himself. Now, beloved, please let me, in the closing moments of our meditation, call attention to this reason for the divine judgment and to apply it to our present day. As we have noted, the Savior declares at the end of verse 44 in Luke 19 that it was unnecessary, but the ignorance and the carelessness of the nation brought this judgment upon them, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. The Son of God visited his people, but in their unbelief, their willful ignorance, they rejected him, not confessing, nor realizing, as they should have done. The evidence was there. He came as Zechariah the prophet had foretold. He came to bring salvation, but they knew it not. And in their folly, they sealed their own doom. My beloved, did you ever realize? Today is again the time of God's visitation. 'Tis not the Lord visiting the nation of Israel merely. 'Tis the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, through the preaching of the gospel of God's love and grace, offering eternal salvation to all who will receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and repent of their sins. He will give them forgiveness and eternal life. My beloved, when the Lord Jesus came, and I'm sure of this, when Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, uttered those blessed words, as you may read at the end of Luke chapter 1, foretelling the visitation of that blessed Messiah, and speaking of salvation, he declared to deliver them from their enemies. Yes, salvation means deliverance. The nation needed deliverance from their enemies, and the Lord Jesus Christ was able to give it. But he came in lowly guise, and they rejected him. But my unsaved friend, do you recognize that today is your only opportunity to receive God's gift of eternal life? The Word of God says today is the day of salvation. But tomorrow, my friend, may be too late. I quote the words of dear Paul in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation for the nation of Israel. In their ignorance and blind unbelief, they lost the meaning as well as the blessing of their day of visitation. Now, my beloved, if you're unsaved, the Spirit of God is telling you, today is the day of salvation. I can't promise, and no one can promise you salvation tomorrow, But now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Do not ignore it, my friend. 'Tis been properly said, procrastination is the thief of time. And I beg of you, my unsaved listener, this is the day of visitation. There's no salvation after death. But today, and while it is today, listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. Turn to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Can I quote the words of a dear old hymn? God's time is now, for the days fly fast, and swiftly the seasons roll. Today is yours. It may be your last. Choose life for your precious soul. Choose now. Just now, for the Lord is here, and angels your answer wait. Choose now, just now, while the call is clear. Tomorrow may be too late. My beloved sinner friend, without Christ, I beg of you, let the Spirit of God convict your soul with the fact. Today and this moment, God's visitation is yours to receive, and the Savior whom he offers with eternal life. Let me quote the loving words of the Savior, so greatly known. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, in the precious name, through the merit of the Lord Jesus and his precious blood, oh, Lord, may friends that are listening today who are without Christ take the Savior now. We ask for his name's sake, and we ask it for his glory, and we ask it that they may not neglect, procrastinate this day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Truth that saint and sinner alike. In Jesus' name, amen.